Support for the Legislative Gazette comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
The New York State Thruway Board voted to raise tolls by nearly a third for drivers who don't have an electronic Easy Pass beginning in January. The change has so far drawn little reaction among the public, but two state senators are against parts of the plan. More from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Item 4 on the finance agenda, approving proposed toll rate adjustments.
The Thruway converted to all cashless tolling in mid-November after work crews mounted cameras on 70 steel gantries that span the lanes at 58 locations on the toll road. The remaining toll booths will be removed by next summer, and toll collectors have been reassigned or laid off. Those who have the electronic tolling EasyPass devices on their vehicle will continue to pay the same rates, but those without an EasyPass will pay 30% more to drive the toll road beginning January 1. The bill will be sent by mail, and a $2 service charge will also be included. There will also be late fees for delinquent motorists. The board passed the measure, along with four other proposals, with no discussion.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposition? Hearing none, the five items are approved.
The Thruway Authority held three virtual public hearings on the toll increase in October. They drew little public interest. Democratic State Senator David Carlucci, however, testified against additional fees for motorists without an Easy Pass who frequently cross the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, formerly known as the Tappan Zee Bridge, between Rockland and Westchester counties. Carlucci, who represents portions of those counties, says in one case a nurse commuting to work without an Easy Pass to care for COVID-19 patients was charged $160 in tolls, but racked up over $3,000 in fees and fines when she was late with the payments. Carlucci says she's not the only one of his constituents who has run into trouble with the tolls and related fees even before the new rules take effect.
This has had a spiral effect where many of the residents that I've personally dealt with have accumulated fines that have now spilled over into other parts of their life and has just been a snowballing effect for an economic personal disaster for them.
Another state senator, Republican Jim Todisco of the Schenectady area, has proposed legislation to waive the fees and surcharges for low-income New Yorkers. He calls the toll increase a terrible plan.
There are many, many New Yorkers at or below the poverty level who don't have credit to begin with, and they certainly don't have a credit card, and they don't have a checking account. It makes no sense whatsoever.
With no scheduled legislative session so far for December, his bill stands little chance of passing. The Thruway Authority says there are other choices available for those who can't afford the standard way of paying for Easy Pass. Spokeswoman Jennifer Givner says a prepaid credit card or money order can be used, and there is also a pay-per-trip option. A $10 deposit is still required, though, for the electronic tag. The increase comes as the total intake from tolls is down 17% in 2020 due to reduced travel during the pandemic. That's far below the modest growth rate of 1-2% predicted by the Thruway Authority at this time last year, and they expect to continue seeing fewer vehicles on the road in 2021. According to the authority's annual report and budget, steps were taken to mitigate the loss in revenue. The authority took out a short-term loan of $225 million from J.P. Morgan Chase. It has also reduced reimbursement for services of the New York State Troopers and Troop T. That's the division dedicated to enforcing speeding limits and other rules on the thruway. And they also had to eliminate 76 positions at the authority through attrition. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
I'm a double to pay. I'm a double to up. I'm a double to pay.
are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Alan, the politics of vaccine. In New York, we saw Governor Cuomo skeptical of approving the use of a vaccine in New York under the Trump administration by wanting to set up a separate panel to evaluate it before distributing it. Now we're hearing that the state's going to get 170,000 doses of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine by December 5th. The CDC has recommended frontline healthcare workers, nursing home residents should be among the first to receive it. But there is also the issue of who will take it, how many will take it, and how quickly we can get it out to the population. Not only that, but on the national scene, why has England approved it before the U.S.?
Well, the English panel is a very distinguished group of people. They're independent, and everything I have heard or read about them says that they are incredibly respected in the United States, and so they have set the way for the legitimization, if that's the right word, of the vaccine. Now, a lot of people are going to be fearful of this thing, and that's their privilege. As for me, I'll take it as soon as I can get it. I rely on the testing that the CDC and the others will be certifying, and from my point of view, and I think for the people in New York State, it's going to be a no-nonsense approach to this. So, David, here's the governor. The governor has written a book basically claiming credit for having defeated the virus in New York State and having gotten it below 1%. Now it's way up there, like the rest of the country has made this major resurgence, and will get even worse because of the foolish people who traveled on Thanksgiving. But Cuomo, of course, has a problem. He's written this book. He's basically claimed the credit. Now it turns out that nobody can claim credit for having defeated this virus. It's got a mind of its own, and it is infecting an awful lot of people. I notice in my talks with Cuomo and listening to him that he seems to be down a little bit. I don't know how to put that, but it is not the same man who seemed to have a little bit more bravado in the past. And I don't blame him. This is a very terrible time to be a leader in the United States, especially after you've basically made the claim that New York has done better than other states.
So how does this play out? He's still high in the polls for his approval of the handling of the pandemic, and he's about to go back to more regular briefings. Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, we're hearing, as the surge continues. Does his credibility go back up as we see him more regularly or not?
Well, you know, David, it's very interesting. I was watching all of this and thinking about it. CNN was playing the president every day. They needed an antidote, and the antidote was Andrew Cuomo. And they would put him on. Every time the president was on, we would see Cuomo representing a state, not the nation, but a state, but really being the antidote to their putting on Trump every day and having to do that. And then, of course, CNN and others decided not to carry the Trump mouthings every day. And that, of course, limited Andrew Cuomo. Now, Cuomo, who got huge ratings and was very well received, is going back to Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I suspect he will not get the same attention, regular attention, he got from the networks or the cable networks. Now, we don't know. If he does, he's back in the saddle. Now, we have a governor who's done more in this area and given facts from the very beginning, unlike a lot of other governors who have followed suit. So he's the leader. He's the head of the Governors Association, or one of the two. He is perceived as having told the truth when other people weren't, and therefore he has high grades, and he deserves them.
Well, the fact is that the state is in dire need of an infusion of cash, and that means that they have to rely on the federal government. There still is not an agreement. President-elect Joe Biden is pushing for that as we speak. Overall, the situation means a whole lot to New York and its finances as, I guess, we look toward Georgia.
Well, Georgia is a state like New York is a state. It will have an election. The Republicans are favored, even though there are polls out that show at least one Democrat leading by a single point. a lot of people don't have faith in the polls that they may have had at one time. And we see a president of the United States coming in, we're told, to support the Republican candidates. We hear that Biden may come in because, think of it, even if it's one vote or two votes in favor of the Republicans, Mitch McConnell continues. If there isn't, he's defeated and he takes to the back benches. And I'm thinking that this is going to be a close election, but right now you would have to count on the Republican candidates being in the lead. That doesn't mean they're going to win. It just means it's a Republican state, that's all. The people of Georgia did vote against Trump, and that was a single vote against a single man. But it didn't mean that they're rejecting Republicanism. Now, what's going to happen is, sooner or later, Biden is going to have to decide whether he gives the money. And I think Andrew Cuomo was counting on that. And frankly, I think he should.
Something lost in all the pandemic news affecting New York is that the New York State Thruway Board has voted to raise tolls by nearly a third for drivers who don't have electronic Easy Pass. Of course, we're removing all those toll booths for this electronic Easy Pass. This is set to begin in January, Alan, this tax raise. The change has so far drawn little reaction among the public, but two state senators, one James Todisco, against parts of the plan. What about that issue that those that can't afford it, in this case, some could argue, are being screwed? They won't be able to take the thruway.
Well, look, there are some things in life that are givens. Easy Pass is something that has become de rigueur for so many people. Yes, every time a tax is levied, every time something occurs that the government is asking for, somebody's going to suffer, usually those at the lower end, and that's terrible. Nevertheless, it happens. And right now, in order to tighten belts and not have to do those toll booths, and we have the electronic way of doing it. We have it in Massachusetts now. It is a smart thing to do, and while you can count on some of the Republican critics of the governor and others to come forward and see if they can curry some favor with the people at the bottom, that remember who we're talking about. We're talking about Republicans currying favor with people at the economic bottom. Interesting, isn't it? Jim Todisco is a very smart man, always been a favorite of mine in that he really does make a two-party system a reality. Nevertheless, it's going to happen, and there's not much anybody's going to be able to do about it.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York State Assemblyman D. Billy Jones was at the Regional Joint Council for Economic Opportunity in Plattsburgh this week, and he's calling on the USDA to readjust its emergency food distribution program to be more equitable for families in northern New York and the Northeast. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there.
In April, the U.S. Department of Agriculture created the Farmers to Families Food Box Program to bring fresh dairy and farm produce to families in need during the pandemic. The program is in its fourth phase and will distribute $500 million of food nationally before the end of the year. But 115th District State Assemblyman D. Billy Jones, a Democrat, says this latest distribution of food to those in need has excluded the North Country and large swaths of the Northeast.
The Phase 4 distribution of this program left out most of New York State. Vermont is not happy with the way that Phase 3 and Phase 4 have rolled out either. States like Maine were shut out of the program. So the Northeast was left behind in it. You know, we're just here to make sure that these food boxes that are distributed to families are done in an equitable way, and so that upstate and the North Country are not left out of this.
Jones and the advocates want the USDA to revise its distribution process to be more equitable. The Farm to Family program is critical in bringing nutritious meals to families in need, according to Clinton County Social Services Deputy Commissioner Rich Holcomb.
The irony of this is the fact that one of the largest industries in the North Country is agriculture. However, the North Country also qualifies in many places as a food desert, meaning that there's insufficient access to quality foods for individuals living in our counties. And Nourish New York is a program that would allow the local farmers to help support and get healthy, nutritious, homegrown foods to the people that live in our area.
The advocates believe the Nourish New York initiative will help fill shortcomings left by the USDA program gaps. The state program was created to help link farmers whose food chain was disrupted by the pandemic with local food banks. On November 10th, Governor Cuomo announced an additional $10 million in funding, bringing the program's total allocation to $35 million. The local low-income advocates would like even more funding dedicated to the program. Plattsburgh Interfaith Food Shelf Coordinator Dorothy Latta said Nourish New York is helping them feed more people.
The Nourish New York food has been available to us at no cost to our organization. And we've been able to get products such as real cheese, meat, and not spending our own budgets for that allows us to have more money to feed more people.
Assemblyman Jones says action is needed to address both state and federal food assistance programs.
We're advocating for more money for Nourish New York. We want to see the USDA step up and improve the bidding process that they put in place in the last couple of rounds. We can make these programs a success.
According to Assemblyman Jones' office, the USDA Farmers to Families Food Box program awarded 4% of funds to the Northeast during the fourth phase of the program.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has signed a bill banning the burning of aqueous film-forming foam containing PFAS chemicals in sites designated environmental justice areas. The new law is tailored specifically for Cohoes. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas explains.
The bill passed the legislature this year after local leaders learned the foam was being burned as part of a Department of Defense contract at Norlite in Cohoes, not far from public housing. The bill is specifically aimed at the small Albany County city. Former EPA Regional Administrator Judith Ank says the governor did the right thing.
We can breathe a little bit easier. Our work certainly is not done, but knowing that Norlite can no longer burn this foam, which contains PFAS chemicals, which is very toxic to the human body and ecology. It's the same classic chemicals that was found in the Hoosick Falls in Petersburg and Newburgh drinking water supply.
Foam containing PFAS was burned at the Spindle City's Norlite plant, which is near the Saratoga site's housing. Democratic Mayor Bill Keeler lauded what he called Governor Cuomo's leadership on environmental safety and his commitment to environmental justice.
You know, I certainly appreciate the governor signing it. I appreciate all the efforts of Assemblyman John McDonald and Senator Neil Breslin. And, you know, our immediate goal was the firefighting foam. You know, we realize it's a hazardous burning, a hazardous waste burning facility. That's a separate matter. We talked about the problem with the Saratoga Sites housing project, which is basically in the shadows of Norlite, which is a related but separate issue. And we've been working since January with the congressional delegation to see what we could do about moving those folks to a better location.
Exposure to PFAS chemicals has been linked to ill health effects, including cancer. The Department of Environmental Conservation ordered Norlite to cease the process in 2019. McDonald, a Democrat and former Cohoes mayor, co-authored the bill, which he notes was written based on the city's population as documented by the last census.
The truth of the matter is there's no other facility like this in the state of New York. So in essence, this legislation, although it's zoned in on a community like Cohoes with that kind of population, it really has the impact of being a statewide ban.
Enk says new law aside, the fight is far from over.
We had to really work hard to get to the bottom of the situation because Norlite secretly burned this and no one in government told the public, including the local mayor. So we learned that in 2018 and 2019, Norlite secretly burned over 2 million pounds of toxic firefighting foam. It was a long struggle to get where we are today, where we now have a legal prohibition on burning this, with tremendous gratitude to the governor and Assemblymember McDonald and Senator Breslin. However, this is just the beginning. Norlite imports large amounts of liquid hazardous waste from all over the country. They have a long history of violating environmental laws. As recently as this past May, the Trump EPA hit them with, I think, too modest a penalty, but still a significant showing of environmental violations at Norlite.
Enck says the company will likely continue to burn industrial solvents and various types of hazardous waste. She adds, it's obvious that Norlite can't effectively run its incinerator, so environmentalists are shifting focus toward the rest of the operation. Norlite responded to a request for comment via email, stating, quote, regarding AFFF, Norlite voluntarily ceased burning AFFF in December 2019. We have not sought permission to burn AFFF since that time, nor were we interested in continuing the incineration of AFFF.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. As Amazon expands, Dutchess County, New York, could become home to an Amazon warehouse. Officials say a former IBM site is a frontrunner as the retail giant considers locations across the U.S. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn with more.
The world's largest online retailer is considering a $135 million investment in the former IBM West Campus site in East Fishkill. Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro says the logistics center would be a job creator and appropriate fit for the location.
This is very exciting and a real shot in the arm should this materialize. So we're supportive. The Industrial Development Agency is supportive. The town of East Fishkill is supportive. And this investment with Amazon could bring as many as 500 new jobs to Dutchess County at a time where, frankly, we're competing well, but we could all use some positive news and new investment. So we're very excited.
The projection is for 500 jobs over 3 years. Amazon would construct a more than 629,000 square foot warehouse facility on Route 52 in the town of East Fishkill. Molinaro says if Amazon occupies the site in Dutchess, it will help the county recover from the economic impact of COVID-19.
This former facility, IBM, no matter who the investor is, it has been long a challenge to attract investors. And we're now riding a wave of interest from businesses who clearly want to do business just outside of New York City or within proximity to New York City. And this facility, this building in Dutchess County is an attractive option. And when it comes to putting people to work, we're going to work hard to make sure that there are those job opportunities.
Town of Poughkeepsie resident and activist Jim Beretta does not oppose Amazon's potentially locating at the IBM site, but wants the company to pay its fair share of taxes.
Amazon is a $1.7 trillion corporation, and that's great that they want to come to Dutchess County. That's great that they want to use that site that's been empty. It is near Interstate 84, but pay your taxes.
Ron Hicks is assistant Dutchess County executive.
I completely understand the concern. There's no doubt that Amazon is a wildly successful company. However, what we're talking about here is competing with surrounding states. This site makes sense logistically, but so does a site in Pennsylvania, and so does a site in New Jersey. And so we are in competition with other states, and everyone knows that it is very expensive to do business in New York. So the question is this something that we want? Do we believe that this will create good jobs? And I think we've seen that. We've seen the wage scales that they're proposing, the benefit packages that they're proposing. And we know that this is going to transform what has been a vacant and a blighted site for more than two decades, has been a cancer on the valuation of the surrounding properties, and is, quite frankly, an embarrassment as you enter the town of East Fishkill.
The site has had a lot of false starts and now, says Hicks, is a chance to change the direction and provide revenue to the town and Wappinger Central School District.
This is a game changer for us on this site. And if anybody thinks differently, over the last 20 years, I ask them, why hasn't this site been developed? Why has this site sat vacant and blighted? Why has this site cost the municipality money?
In a statement, an Amazon spokesperson says the business is constantly exploring new locations and weighs a variety of factors when deciding where to develop future sites to best serve customers. She says Amazon has a policy of not commenting on its future roadmap. Amazon already has plans to open a 1 million square foot warehouse in Montgomery in Orange County. Beretta says Amazon should not be entitled to any payment in lieu of taxes or pilot agreement or other financial breaks.
Basically, I say no pilot, and I typically say that for all the projects that go before the IDA because I think that everybody else has to pay their taxes.
The Dutchess County Industrial Development Agency voted unanimously in favor of the preliminary project. It is contemplating providing financial assistance by granting a real property tax exemption and providing for a pilot, as well as exemption from all state and local sales and use taxes and from all real estate transfer taxes and mortgage recording taxes. Beretta also takes issue with the times public hearings are scheduled for most projects.
The hearings are always scheduled early to mid-morning during the week. They'll be like, say, for example, 9 a.m., 9:30 a.m., 10 a.m., on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Thursday. Who from the general public can afford to take time to hunt these things down, go to a public hearing, prepare for it, you know, read the applications and prepare for it and go to a public hearing during the morning, during the week? Most people can't.
He says generally it is he and his wife who turn out for the hearings, and they have done so over the past year.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 2049, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustino.